This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
That was it.
What?
Yeah.
It's like a 90s sitcom.
No lyrics, just the music.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the first time we've ever done that, but
it's
I figured.
Cool.
A lot of times, just the music communicates so much that you don't need words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, Jack, you're a musician.
Yeah.
You get it.
I totally understand.
There was the double bass attack on that was insane.
Yeah.
It just felt like a Pantera drum beat.
Yeah.
So it's not what I think about when I think of your podcast, but that's amazing that someone was like, this is where I go. You guys
hardcore
are rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, now I'm wondering if that guy even wrote it for us. I'd hate to be deceived. He just wrote an awesome
It was
lick.
Actually Pantera.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
It was, yeah.
Jack and Doug, why don't you introduce yourself while I pull up the information about that song?
Okay. Yeah.
Names, locations, sex, gender. How do we know you?
I'm Doug Mann. I'm a male. I live in Los Feliz.
That's good.
And I'm the host of a podcast called Duty Calls with Doug Mann, along with my good friend Jack Dolgen, right here.
And that's me. I'm Jack Dolgen. I am also male.
Yeah.
I'm sex positive.
Oh, wow. I don't even know what that means.
It means you like to have sex?
I'm pro sex. I'm just very sex positive.
I've never identified myself as that either, but
sex
I also
sex positive
am.
Is a movement.
Yeah. Food positive?
I'm food positive.
Yeah.
Body positive. and I'm negative about myself.
Yeah. Nice. So you're positive about everything, not you.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good description of you.
the band that made that was a Montreal progressive metal band called Bird Problems.
They're metal positive.
They're metal positive. Yeah. Doug and Jack,
the band is called Bird Problems?
Yeah, Bird Problems.
That's great.
That's a pretty good name.
Yeah. Like we tried to have you on our show for the last like 3, 4, or 5 months maybe.
Right, yeah.
But y'all are busy individuals.
We're not scheduling positive.
No, yeah, you're busy positive.
We're really happy that it worked out.
Yeah.
What a lovely office you guys have here.
Thank you. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
What's your day job, just so if people can put the context of who you guys are in the larger world?
I'm a writer and songwriter on the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Okay. That's a big deal. And Doug, what are you a songwriter for?
I write mostly songs like
sing a ditty
about birds and the problems they have. But
holy shit, you're in Bird Problems?
That was
guys,
you?
That was me.
On the
That's
axe?
Why I waited to be on the show until you finally picked my song. I came all the way in from Canada.
You could have told me. I would have used the song earlier.
I wanted it to be on the merits of the music. I am also a writer and actor, and I'm write on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as well as written for How I Met Your Mother and The Comedians and some other things that you might have seen or not seen.
Oh, Jake and I almost wrote for The Comedians.
Did
we,
you?
We could have been.
You could have
been co-writers. Yeah. Instead,
awesome.
They hired you. yeah.
They could have gotten us for the same price.
Yeah.
But they said, no, one Doug is better than Jake and Amir.
Yeah, one
Doug.
No.
Just so you know, I have a writing partner, so.
Okay. Thank God.
So in either situation, we both would have been splitting the check, one check.
Okay, great. That's good. Yeah.
But I get to reap the rewards of working with Billy Crystal and Josh Gad.
Yeah, wow. How was that?
It was as bizarre as it sounds.
All right, good.
It was cool. and strange and fun.
And it came and went.
It came and went.
Was it like a weird part of your life?
It was a gig. It was a weird gig to like, we were in the writer's room with Billy Crystal. So it's kind of surreal. Like,
is that that must be, are you scared to pitch stuff?
I have a lot of anxieties, but I usually kind of step it up when I'm around like people like that. And I just went for it with Billy and he responded well to it. I wasn't scared, but I was impressed. He's impressive. He's still super sharp. And like he doesn't forget anything, and his timing is impeccable. But he's just from like a different time.
Yeah.
So, and then Larry Charles was also in the room, which was actually if I was going to be scared about anyone, it was Larry Charles. Like,
who directs,
no disrespect,
Seinfeld episodes.
But he's Seinfeld director, Curb director, Borat. You know, so like he basically made my favorite comedies throughout my whole. The reason I do this is the projects that Larry Charles has worked on.
I imagine he's a very serious guy. He's like, he's a director of many, many comedies, but he's just like very stone-faced.
He's all vibe, right?
He's the most vibey guy you've ever met. He's got long hair and a long beard. He carries a backpack with him everywhere he goes.
What does he eat for lunch?
He'll eat a regular, he'll eat the writer's room lunch. Yeah, he'll order what we're ordering from. He was quitting smoking at the time, so he was like playing with beads a lot. And he was like,
are he and Rick Rubin different people?
I don't know, but they definitely had to pray to the same Buddha.
They hold the same beads.
They hold the same beads. He was cool. He wasn't too serious. He also has amazing stories, but he's as neurotic as anyone. He's like has the same fears about writing. He's like, I don't know, maybe this is my last job. And I'm like, you're fucking Larry Charles. Like, I was like, does it ever end? And he's like, no, it never ends.
This is my last job.
He's nervous about like, I don't know where I'm gonna work next. I'm like, I can guess where you're gonna work next. There's five things you're gonna do after this that you're fine.
I'm on your IMDb. Yeah, you got a lot of stuff in pre-production.
Yeah,
I can tell your schedule for the next 2 years, Larry Charles.
Yeah, you're totally booked up. I just think he's like, oh, who can trust? He's got that kind of Jewish vibe was like, you can't trust anything until it's happening. and even then, is it really happening, or are you just taking bad medication?
Well, this is happening. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
And you guys are here because you have a new podcast on the HeadGum Network.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a shitty podcast, but not a bad podcast. It's right. A shit-based podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. And we're very excited to get going with you guys.
Yeah. You already have like 100 episodes of it.
We do. We have 100 episodes, and so... And that'll all be available. It's called Duty Calls with Doug Mand. And we just have people come on and tell personal shit stories. It has to be a personal story.
Yeah. And you were sort of resurrecting it. So you had like a first or second season or whatever you want to call it, like 100 episodes worth.
Yeah.
And you guys wanted to bring it back.
You're already the Hulu to our Mindy.
Oh, I like that.
We were 100 episodes and we're already in shit-tication.
Nice. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. You have a whole notebook full of those.
It's amazing how I've never said that before and I haven't.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Where we brought the show back, we kept getting emails from people who liked the show and other people who wanted to tell stories. And John Gabers is a good friend of ours, and he said,
he is a human shit story.
I didn't think anybody had better shit stories than John Gabers until I met you guys.
But he's a legend for sure. In the space shit community. Yeah.
r/shit doers.
It's a diaspora.
Nice.
Yeah.
when you look at great shitters in shitstery.
okay. Now we're having fun. Have you guys invested in shitcoin? Sorry. It's a digital poop cryptocurrency that completely decentralized.
Apparently, when everything else goes to shit, that's the only thing that's going to have value. We're bringing the show back. We have some episodes coming and a bunch more exciting guests on the way. That you'd be amazed how many people really want to tell their stories.
Yeah, Jake and I were on it. In a perfect world, this episode is out, and then your guys' podcast is back.
Right,
and it's the Jake and I episode. So hopefully right now, after this episode, you guys can go listen to our episode of Duty Calls.
That would be great.
I think we could time that.
Everybody's got a shit story, you know? Everyone has, you guys have 1,000, but everybody has at least one.
When we started the podcast, it was the thing I was most nervous about is, are we going to be able to book guests? Are we going to get enough people? That has not been a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, I can tell you about the worst shit experience I ever had.
Or everyone has a friend. Everyone who comes in then has five friends. It's like, oh, you know who you got to talk to. And then we always say we don't want to hear it. Like Jack and I like to not, we don't want to hear the stories beforehand because we want it to feel like it feels when you're sitting around with a group of friends and you're telling a shameful story that you're kind of embarrassed about. And we want to kind of create that, have that energy going on. So
we like to come in clean and then get just shat all
and then
over.
Yeah, and get then, dirty. And then just wipe it up.
Well, this is an advice podcast. This show is If I Were You, but we were able to find some duty-related questions.
All right.
So hopefully make it more of a crossover episode. So if guys are willing to indulge us,
We'd love to.
Why don't we start with the first duty-related question, which is written by a guy. So, Doug, do you have a fake guy's name just so we can preserve this guy's anonymity while we answer his question?
Do I have a fake guy's name?
Just, yeah, it could be any guy's name that you can come up with.
Charlana.
That's good.
Charlana?
Charlana.
Charlana. It sounds like a woman's name, but it's actually...
It's not actually.
And Charlana's been dealing with that his whole entire life.
Yeah.
And it's an anagram for Larry Charles?
Oh, God, I've said too much.
All right, Charlana writes, my sister-in-law has been staying with me and my wife for the past week. I noticed that we've been going through quite a bit of toilet paper since she's been here. We usually don't need to replace the roll that often, probably less than once a week. But since she's been here, I've replaced it twice. That by itself would be okay, but yesterday I went to the bathroom after her and discovered that she had plugged the toilet. She must have had just flushed, assuming it would go all down fine, because there was no way she could have just been nonchalant as she was if she had realized what she'd done. I didn't feel like I really had a choice, so I plunged the toilet and did my business, which was pretty obvious from the plunging that the floater she left wasn't the issue. It was way, way, way too much toilet paper. Since that point, I can't look at her in the eye without thinking about it. She's just living her life like she didn't plug up our toilet, but she did. I'm not saying I've never plugged a toilet, but every time it's happened, I feel such great shame that I can't imagine leaving the bathroom without having 100% certainty that it all flushes and it has been successful. So my question is, would it be weird to ask her to use less toilet paper? Is there a way to bring it up without bringing up the fact that I had to plunge the toilet after her? Do most people keep such a close eye on how much toilet paper is being used? Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. And love the show. Love, Charlana?
That's a terrible name. Let's call him Charlie.
Okay, Charlie. Charlie for short. So this is. What do you guys think of toilet paper versus poop clogging the toilet? Is it mostly toilet paper? Is it a poop thing?
It's an interesting predicament that he's in. I want to just like
you guys are such experts.
Yeah,
like, I was just reading the question like
Jack just put on a different pair of glasses for this to answer this question, even though he's not reading it.
They're half glasses. Yeah. They're like little
in
reading
glasses.
In
the very tip of his nose. Just push these up. Where did that cup of tea come from?
First, I want to just say that I think for two people to only change the toilet roll once a week is, I would say, a little less than average. I think that's a low toilet paper usage.
Definitely for us it is.
For us, it's the roll's gonna go
a roll
every
per
two to three days. Yeah,
yeah.
So kudos to this couple for being conservative with their toilet paper use.
Yeah, thank you.
Wait, even with a bidet, are you using that much TP?
No. The bidet has changed everything.
It's a new bidet.
Yeah.
It's a that was such an identical laugh.
Yeah.
That laugh was identical. You guys both moved your head the exact same angle.
Well, because we didn't want it to like fuck with the mic.
You guys are great professionals.
What do you think about the cloggage? My gut is that he's probably right.
Have you guys ever heard people saying plugged the toilet? That was new
to me. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, maybe he's British or something.
That was the first weird thing I noticed. That was the first thing where I was like, is this guy a narc?
Yeah.
Is he an alien who's like, I know what people... I've never heard plugged the toilet.
Yeah, he just learned. He's an alien that just learned the language. Yeah.
Everyone is plugging the toilet. Hippity-hop.
But there's kind of
like a sister.
There's kind of like a prideful joy, or like a half shame, half joy. Be like, oh, I clogged the toilet. Whoa, I guess I like have a crazy bowel movement. But it's really just like an inefficient use of toilet paper is what does it.
Almost and flushing. It's almost never, in my experience, a huge shit that does it.
And if it is,
that is something to be proud of.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But agreed. I think people have the pride of, oh, I guess I got like take huge shits.
But it sounds like toilet paper. This sounds like toilet paper.
It does. It does, and it's not, and that's not uncommon. And I would urge Charlie to begin with, just exercising a lot of empathy in this situation.
That's exactly right, Jack.
Because because there's so many unknown factors here, and one possibility that comes to mind, honestly, is that like she had a wipe that just wouldn't stop.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that does happen.
But then you got to do the multiple flushes.
You got to do the multiple flushes.
That's true.
What I'm hearing in this from Charlie is I think he's trying to couch his, can I tell her to use less toilet paper? It's not about that. Charlie is mad that he had to unclog the toilet or unplug it. And he wants an excuse to say that. Yeah, that's what I say.
He said we usually are 1 week, and now since she's been here, we went to two. That's, yeah. Partly because there's just a third person in general. And it's also like, what, a buck to...
Yeah. Well, I think looking at someone else's floater and having to unclog it is a gross experience. And it probably is making Charlie just angry because it feels rude to him. Mm-hmm. You can hear it in like the tone.
Yeah.
So he's like, can I say something? And it's like, well, why? My question would be, take a step back and look like what you want to say. If it's just to be like, I'm pissed and I want you to know I'm pissed... I think you should preserve your relationship with your sister-in-law.
Oh, it's sister-in-law, is not straight sister?
Yeah, it's sister-in-law.
Oh, wow. It's definitely don't sister. Say anything.
Yeah.
Lord. Sister.
If you're truly concerned and it's becoming a problem on your pipes, then I think you should have the sister say something and be like, hey, can you just...
That's correct.
I agree that Charlie's mad, but I actually have a different take on why. I think Charlie is mad because... so much toilet paper is being used, and I think he's cheap. And I don't think he wants...
Well, that's what Jig was seeming to be picking up on, too.
I think he's... Because the first part of it is all about...
Yeah.
The first part is just about quantity. You can see Charlie looking at his spreadsheets, and he's like, well, our toilet paper intake is up 300% this month.
Like a passive-aggressive sign. Three squares max. Because you want to know what I think? I don't think her asshole is dirty. I think what she likes is... and sometimes I do this, too. You get, like, a big clump... Mm. And it's nice and soft.
Sure.
Like if I'm at my house, I tend to use a little less because I don't want to use my toilet paper. I don't want to use my toilet.
So it's a money thing for you too.
But if I'm at the airport, where they have like those toilets that just suck the
Those are very thin. You got to use a clump.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking is that this might fall on Charlie's shoulders too. Is what kind of toilet paper is he stocking? Because if he's got this like terrible single ply, she's gonna need to do a nice big cushion,
right?
A lot of toilet, a nice nest to get what she wants. Maybe she's accustomed to a finer product.
Yeah,
single ply is sometimes just as bad as like. Here are four strands of spaghetti. Like you're about.
It seems like two single plies does not equal a double ply.
No, not at
it's
all.
It's gotta be like
you're
10
completely
single
right.
Plies.
Yeah, what?
To like, it's such a thin.
I'd rather
what
use
is the conversion
porous...
rate on plies. And is there an agreed upon?
There isn't. It's
global. Like
there's no international standard.
There is none. And so it's really the Wild West out there. It's really like single ply is really. It feels like. 0.5 plus.
I would rather use a pad CU noodle. It's wide.
Thick rice noodle.
And at least it's softer. A nice rice noodle.
Which is what we were using probably up until very recently.
Totally.
Did I tell you about, you about the time that I had to unclog a toilet without a plunger? Have you guys ever had to do this?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't we living together?
It was when we were living, not together, but in the same apartment building.
Yeah, One Santa Fe.
And
I'm preparing myself for the most masculine story of all time.
Well, I took a huge shit. I swear to God, I think I clogged the toilet with pure shit.
Everybody,
it was
does.
Like my last all night. It on. Was my last night in the apartment, so I like it got
so
all
it was,
of my
it
stuff
was
had
party
had
time
been...
in the bowel department.
I spent the last month constipating
in,
myself
just for the joy of leaving
like,
it.
One last night, baby.
But the plunger had been packed. It was already at the new place. And I went down to the front desk. I asked if they had a plunger. They didn't. I went to like the gym bathroom, the pool. I scoured the entire apartment looking for a plunger. Nothing. So I looked online if you could unclog a toilet with no plunger. So what I did was I
think you sent me links from like how to or something.
Yeah. I squirted a whole bunch of dish soap into the toilet bowl, and then I boiled a gallon of water and just dumped it into the toilet.
And what's the a gallon of boiling water supposed to
I guess
to
what
do?
You're trying to do is cuz toilet paper is made to like break up
it's
in
to
the
break
pipes.
Up the shit
but you're trying to like
paper.
You're a plunger like you plunge it comes back up it tears it up it I don't know it swirls around So what the dish soap did is sort of like breaking it apart. And then what the boiling water did is...
Because the dish soap is made to cut grease and like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And would you say it was a greasy shit?
Dude, it was so foul. I had to do it...
You did it greasy?
I had to do it three... I had to do it three different times.
But here's what I
understand.
Do
it three times for it to finally go down. And the entire... My fiance was like on her way to my house. And I was like, don't come home yet.
I'm making you a surprise. Yeah.
He's boiling grease water. Like, I just wanted it to be gone by the time she got there, because it was so foul. It was just like it was like a brown stew up in the.
But
when it finally went down, she came back, and I was so proud that I told her the entire story.
Yeah. And she still decided to marry you. So that's
it. Great. Was that night I proposed to her?
You had to. But if your toilet was clogged, isn't it? The water hasn't it risen at that point, so you're pouring more water. That would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, there. I think the water had like, it was a situation where the water had like gone all the way down, so there was no water in the bowl.
Uh-huh. You know, sure. Like, that's okay. One of the ways a toilet clogs.
That's the way better way to do it.
Yeah. Way better.
Yeah, it's called a dry clog.
It's a dry clog.
It's a dry clog.
But even when that happens, like,
you got a dry clog going on. All right, I'll send one of my guys over, but I wouldn't worry.
I don't even know if you can plunge a dry clog because there's no like water to. You need to lube it up.
That's a great point. Well, usually a dry clog is kind of a good sign because it's like, okay, maybe two more flushes and this thing's gone.
Yeah. Right. It was one of those clogs where, like, you think, oh, I think I can flush this again and it'll be fine. But that was just not happening.
You guys ever do a wet clog and it's, like, almost at the top and you're like, should I fucking risk it? Should I pull the trigger and do one last flush knowing that if it doesn't work,
and then, like, it's starting overboard. To go up and you sort of have to sip it like a beer before you take it off the counter.
Just the
like,
head.
I mean,
you never play Russian roulette with your
one of my defining life moments early on in my life was... It was this exact thing.
Oh, really?
I clogged my friend Matt Henley's toilet. And,
wait, move the microphone. I want it.
Henley's toilet, and they had family friends over at their house, and it was early in my shitting career.
Yeah,
I think I was 12.
Was it a toilet paper clog?
It was a combination.
Yeah,
a
combo.
And I just, being young and new to the game, I just kept pressing flush.
Yeah.
And it overflowed on all over to the floor.
The floor.
Everywhere. So at this point, I had to go tell my friend Matt. And when you're like 12, you just don't do anything on your own. He told his father, who had absolutely the worst reaction you could have. He was so mad and yelled. He was like, what the hell did you do? In front of their family friends, came up to the room. And was pissed about the shit all over the floor. I didn't want to do it.
As if you meant to.
As if I want to. And so then I spent the next hour with one of those squeegee mops.
He made you clean it too?
Oh, yeah. It's just like the saddest, like, just Anne Hathaway character up in an attic.
The
just
ship.
Like, just, yeah, just
down
like.
On Skid Row.
Yep. And just squeeze, like, mopping, squeezing out, mopping, squeezing out. And then just like. Staying up in the room until everyone left. So, yes, I've been there.
You had coal soot on your face for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Somehow coal soot. I got the black lung.
Doug, that's incredible trauma.
It was, oh, no.
That's,
no,
like, super traumatic.
It's fully traumatic. I was... Yeah, I mean, there's a reason we do this podcast. It comes from a real sad place and wanting to normalize. Like,
I think that's the nice thing about your podcast. You guys have been talking shit about... You guys have been talking about shit your whole life. Talking shit to each other.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And...
That's a good name for a
podcast, just heard
too.
That story for the first time?
I don't remember hearing it.
I don't know if you heard
because you have so many of these stories. Like, I remember when we did your show, you had a story about how you shit in the woods on like a nature walk with your girlfriend on an early date.
Yeah, that became my wife, yeah. It's just
really cool.
Yeah, this is
oh, it's cool.
So yes, I've been there, Amir, and it's terrible. And so from that moment on, I don't touch it. I don't.
Yeah,
if it's up there, like the last thing I do is flush.
You go straight to plunge.
Yeah,
cool. A lot of times, if it's filling up, if you wait it out like a while, it'll start to seep.
Yeah, slowly.
The problem is, if you're at someone else's house.
Right. Yeah, you don't have a lot of time.
No. You don't.
One of the risks is like sometimes it gets so high to the brim that even plunging it is a risk.
Too much water displacement.
Oh yeah,
that's true. And then you have to go very gently, or you have to wait, and it's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
and not everyone has that kind of time.
I mean, that story was very bowel moving. It really.
Yes. Have you guys ever just left a clogged toilet, been like, well, I clogged that, I have to go?
In public, maybe?
Yeah, I guess in a public restroom. But
if I've done it, I've blacked it out due to shame. Mm-hmm. And I just can't recall the memory. But I don't think I have, because I think, you know, look, part of what we do on the podcast is we take the stigma out of having shit problems, and things happen. I mean, things happen. Everyone clogs a toilet. Yeah. Everyone's done it. Everyone's done it at someone else's house or at a public place. Like, you just deal with it and trust that, like, if you need to ask someone for help, if you need to go up to the guy at the counter and go, hey, do you have a plunger? He's clogged that fucking toilet too. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta trust the community.
You guys are shit therapists.
I mean, really are. In a way, we are. I mean, we've had more people come on the show who tell the story, and they'll be like, "That's the first time I ever admitted that."
and you do it in a way that's not like, "Oh, you're disgusting. That's the nastiest shit story ever."
It gets
10 out of 10 farts from me.
We appreciate you saying that, because we are. I mean, look, do we have fart sound effects that we want to use sometimes? Yeah, of course.
But do we hold back? We hold it in.
Yeah. We hold it in. We don't. But yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I think that's something we're going for. We want it to be kind of a catharsis for people, and to be like, yeah, it's just a normal thing. It is eating, shitting, fucking. Like, we do these things, and then we pretend that we're not doing them. So let's just come out with it.
The best shit stories are often ones that are not only are, you know, sort of funny because they're gross or whatever, but they also have another, like, deeper psychological or personal or personality layer to them that we can work with and uncover and dig into a little bit, and leaving the person who told the shit story to sort of like have grown a little bit, or we've all learned something, mm-hmm. or like there's something about ourselves that we've gained access to now that we've told that story.
Yeah, 100%. I'm a better man for doing the show. I am a better man, a better husband,
a better lover.
Yeah. I couldn't get any worse. Yeah. So, right. I think I'm about the same level of lover.
Yeah, and it's not going to help everything.
But, yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Well, did we even answer this person's question? So tell the sister.
Yeah.
Tell her. Sister.
But also, I'm with Doug. Like, take a step back and like, do you really need to say anything?
Yeah.
Because
chances are she didn't know it came back up. The one of two things: she didn't know. She didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, she's not prancing around your house being like, that guy punched my shit. She does not feel good about it.
So you're not going to get anything from that.
Let this one go.
Yeah, let this one go.
Flush it down.
Poo it forward.
Nice. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more questions, duty questions, with Jack and Doug. Doug and Jack, what do you guys prefer?
They both are great.
They both work, and they both are great.
Jack and Doug, I think.
All right.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's auraframes.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
And we're back. Y'all, okay. Y'all want to answer some more duty cues?
Yeah.
Cutie doos?
Oh, duty cue.
This one's interesting. It's about, okay, I mean, this is just a perfect. This is perfect poop podcast fodder. Jack, do you want to give us a fake guy's name?
Bob.
Love it.
You want Charlotta?
Bob writes, in the past few months, I've noticed that I have to poop more or less every day between 8:45 and 9 in the morning. Now, right now, it's the summer, so I can excuse myself from work to go to the bathroom. However, classes are starting up again in the fall, and on 4 days of the week, I have lectures from 8:30 to 10:30. I'm beginning to worry about my poop schedule and how it'll affect my ability to pay attention. No matter how hard I push or how long I sit there, I can't seem to get it to go if I try around 8 a.m., so I can't go before. And I don't want to miss 10 minutes of every class because I can't control my bowel movements. Any advice or tips you have on poop rescheduling would be greatly appreciated.
Wow.
Thanks. love Bob. So, are you guys regular?
No.
You're all over the place.
I'm even less regular than you. I think you poop in the morning. You just poop an insane amount.
I poop a lot in the morning, but then not always right away, different times, and then who knows what's going to happen throughout the day.
Yeah. I'm like a Radiohead album. You never know what. Like, it's just like the
you'll drop in the middle of the night.
It's always going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
but it could be in completely different genres.
Yeah. And it could be a title exclusive.
It could be. There could be no warning before it comes out.
Suddenly,
there could be lots
trending.
Of anticipation.
Yeah,
and you're guaranteed to get a lot of press on it.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel for this guy.
The schedule.
Like, big this, time. This made me really nervous. Like, for me, living in New York was a constant anxiety attack because getting on a subway, I was always scared that I'd be stuck under there. I actually had to up my dosage of Prozac too. That's the true story to counteract my anxiety about being trapped in a tunnel where I couldn't shit. So this is really scary. To correct a schedule is the fact that he has a schedule is a good sign, right?
I agree with that. I think that's the glimmer of hope here.
Yeah,
is that his body does?
Is that the goal, to be regular?
You know, I don't think
there's... I think it makes life easier.
It's nice, but I hate to put that kind of pressure on people, you know? Just adapt mentally to what your body is
just
doing.
Just poo you.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, you poo
yeah.
you.
That's yeah, you poo one. You. Yeah. I think it's great that this guy goes at a regular time in the sense that that means that there's a chance that he can change that time. Because his body likes to go regularly.
He's got to reprogram.
Right.
So, but what he didn't add in there, which I would want to know if I was really, if I was going to just wear my little doctor outfit, which is pretty cute.
You look adorable right now.
You are wearing a nurse's outfit.
He thinks he doesn't know the difference.
Let me get the stethoscope here. is what is he eating and drinking in the morning? And is that poop coming just from sleeping all night and that's when the poop is ready?
Yeah.
Because,
or is it a coffee triggered?
Exactly.
Shit?
That's because you could have your coffee.
But
30 minutes
I would think
earlier.
That Bob has thought about this enough to know that if he's drinking coffee at a certain time, like that's a part. So what Bob might have to do if he's this scared is he has to wake up an hour early and start to change, to change his body, because it does sound like his body is respecting a schedule.
I would do that. I would start that a solid month ahead of time.
Yep.
To just give yourself a little room, see if it works. And also, you can't, if you put the pressure on, it's not going to happen. So you have to have some freedom. You have to have a little time to be like,
100%.
I'm going to try it. We'll see what happens. If I go earlier, it's fine. If I don't, it's fine.
Yeah. Yep. It's like a skittish little cat. You don't want to scare the cat.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a skidsish little cat.
Nice. Jake, are you regular?
Not really, no.
You can shit in the afternoon, morning, night, late night, in the middle of the night.
Never middle. I mean, it tends to be morning-ish. Like, I'd like to shit before I leave my house every day. And most of the time I do.
Do you shit in the AM or the BM?
Like
Yeah. Like
It goes down.
It goes down in the BM.
I'll just say this also to Bob. Like, if coffee isn't a factor currently, he could use that to expedite the situation before he leaves for his lectures.
It's not a myth. That coffee thing is an actual thing.
Oh, it's real.
What's the thing there?
I think it's caffeine that does it. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, because I do tea. And it does it for me too.
Yeah.
I do matcha.
I wonder what the chemistry is there. Like how drinking something causes your to be ready.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's above our pay grade.
Yeah. Doug only has a nurse's outfit. So
maybe if you put on a full doctor's outfit, I don't know
if the stethoscope will help give an answer, but
yeah, it seems like your body doesn't know the time of day. All it does is know the schedule of your own internal clock. So if you wake up an hour early, your body thinks, okay, it's time to poop an hour after I wake up. Like, if you're regular, I don't think daylight savings affects that. It's not like your stomach knows what time of day it is.
I'm from Arizona, and we don't change our clocks, so I can't speak to it.
Wow.
But is that true? Yeah. Never change your clock in Arizona. Ever.
That's on the license plates.
Yeah. So much
that's
sense.
That's our claim to fame. It's the only reason people live there.
Hawaii doesn't change their clock either.
Yeah. You can't change time.
Yeah. Why would you?
Who do you think you are? This is crazy. Yeah.
So, like, even in the winter, the days are just like, they're shorter, but they're not obscenely short.
It just is what it is. You know? That's the motto. Arizona.
It is what it is.
So right now, is it the same time as LA or is it an hour ahead?
I don't know. Because even that, as a question, it's so confusing to me.
Yeah.
As
adults, we can't fully grasp.
I can't. No one knows.
I think
sure.
No one knows.
Yeah.
But well, sure they do, right?
No, no one knows. No, it's unknowable.
You know what?
Unknowable is a really smart sounding thing.
It's unknowable. No one has a computer or a little phone they could type in the question. There's no way of knowing.
We've talked for a long time about having a gastroenterologist on the show to really get into the sort of nitty gritty of some of these more scientific questions.
That'd
I think
cool.
we should look forward to. Yeah,
do you guys ever answer like listener submitted shit questions?
Yeah, people, the shitheads tweet in, they email stories.
We get a lot of stories. We don't get a lot of questions, actually.
And we have a shit hotline where people also call in their stories.
Yeah. I mean, like, it seems like it's almost like a hotline for, you know, like, hey, I'm mortified. I'm really scared. I just overflowed a toilet, and you can tell your story and be like, I did that too.
You should give the hotline number out.
Yeah, the hotline is 1786 hold it N. That's the letter N.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
Hold it N as in no, 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 no.
Because, I mean, it's really meant for people like Bob. If Bob were to have to leave a lecture because he had to shit, it'd be to call to hear a reassuring voice saying that it's okay. Like, that's what I would say to Bob, too, is like, to piggyback on Jack's thing, is take some of the pressure off. If the worst case scenario is you have to leave a lecture, first of all, who the fuck is lecturing that you can't miss a couple minutes?
Yeah. What do they know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, who the hell are they?
Nothing's knowable.
Yeah, yeah. We already, there's so many things that are unknowable. And I'm a nurse. I'm a certified nurse. So like, if that's the worst case, Bob, like, you're gonna get through this. And then maybe you think about not getting signing up for lectures at 8:30 if there's no other.
Yeah, and even if he has a tough first week, I bet you the body adjusts.
Yeah, I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Just a quick hit. Have you guys ever had hemorrhoids?
I think so. But I'm not sure.
I have not.
Wow, for so many shitting problems, it's interesting.
I do get
talk about your hemorrhoid on their show, I think.
Yeah.
I do get something called mysterious butthole pain.
Oh, MBP?
Yeah.
Is that like when the sphincter contracts? You're like, oh, what's that?
It feels like a
Charlie horse, but for your sphincter?
Yes. Yeah, right in the anus, like a Charlie horse in the anus.
Ooh.
We might have talked about, I don't know if we talked about this in our episode too, but it's an amazing story. I would hate, I,
Yeah, no, I won't tell you the story. There's a story on the podcast, but yeah, Mysterious
Bunny.
No,
Jake and Amir,
do you want to know?
Yeah.
Well, I started having this thing called Mysterious Butthole Pain, which is the term I gave it, because it's no one can know. It's an unknowable thing what it's it actually unknowable. Is. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's extreme pain in the butthole, and I
inside
had it.
The sphincter, huh? Like inside or like on the.
It feels like it's in the ring, like it's in inside, it's but just rim. Barely inside in the Pacific Rim. Oh. Yeah, and I had lunch with my family down in San Diego, and I was driving down there to go hang out with my family, and I had the mysterious butthole pain. I'm sitting there at lunch. I'm with my family. It's getting worse and worse and worse, and I just think to myself, maybe if I just go shit, it'll go away, because I don't know what to do. But it's really bad, and it's starting to kind of like consume me a little bit. I get up. We're at a place called the Hotel Del Coronado. It's in Coronado. It's a very fancy, old, beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
I'm walking down an outdoor corridor, and all of a sudden my vision blurs, and I drop to the floor and completely pass out. Smack. Next thing I know, I'm like coming to. People are surrounding me. Are you okay? What's going on? And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I kind of half get up and fall again. The mysterious butthole
because
pain.
Because of the pain is
he
so intense.
He passed
in
out from butthole pain. I cannot stress. So like, I cannot stress to you enough.
Like, my ass.
I cannot stress to you enough how amazing. I mean, it's scary.
It's my ass.
Anyone a doctor?
His brother-in-law
is
a doctor.
My brother-in-law is a doctor. He runs over.
Who has Crohn's? Right.
He has a celiac.
Who has celiac?
I was like, my family is at the restaurant. I can barely see. He comes over. He runs over. Oh my god, what's wrong? And I kind of whisper into his ear, my butthole hurts.
You ripped down your pants.
Now, as hosts of shit podcasts, this is the kind of gold you pray for. But yeah. As a friend, I was worried. Yeah.
Of course.
So look out for mysterious butthole pain.
All right. We have time for one last question. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Let's get...
Tag team first and last name?
Yeah, tag team. Doug, first name?
Jameson.
That's good. And Doug... Jack, last name?
Horowitz.
Wow. Ooh,
really close to me.
Thank yeah. you. Jake's cousin.
This is my cousin, Jameson Horowitz.
I don't want to call this guy out, but his email does come from an Ivy League email address.
So I was right about the Horowitz.
That's correct.
So I already feel inferior to him, and I hate him.
Well, let's, with that in
because
mind.
I want to be him.
But clearly we come with no preconceived notions.
Anyway,
but like, is it one of the good ones, or is it Cornell?
No. No, you got to laugh. It feels good, right?
Any idiot can get into Cornell. That's what we're saying.
No. Ironically enough, it's brown.
Whoa.
Whoa.
It's not really brown. Okay. All right, ready? A girl I have a huge crush on was assigned a room on my floor. While on the surface, this seems like it would be amazing, it presents a problem. There's six people on the floor, and we share a co-ed bathroom. Ew. So far this year, I've avoided pooping in it because I'm sure that hearing me, quote, drop some brown babies off at the pool, end quote, would be a huge turnoff. The next nearest bathroom is not close, so it's a major hassle every time. What would you do? Should I just give up on my neighbor and start pinching loaves? Or is it okay that I can just do my business? Currently clenching, hoping for some advice.
Currently love, clenching.
Yeah. Love, Jameson Horowitz.
Well, I have very strong thoughts about this. Doug, why don't you start?
I don't want to belittle any of your fans here, but I do find it funny that, first of all, like, I have such an inferiority complex about Ivy Leagues. It's like how juvenile it's kind of – like, you can't – I don't think you can say dropping brown babies off at the pool anymore.
Oh, that's not woke anymore?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it's not okay.
Let's just not say that, and that anymore.
It's okay. That's where we're at. That's okay. It's just something we're not going to say.
He wrote the email 5 years ago.
Okay, great. Yeah.
It's really old.
It was a different time. There was a different time.
This guy's already graduated from Yale.
So he's, all right. So he's already making $1.3 million a year. So it's already over. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay, so given that you can't say that phrase
that,
anymore.
Given that you can't say that, what do you do if you're living on the same floor or sharing a bathroom with someone you have a crush on? Is a great question. Jack, you have some initial thoughts?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're saying
I think
everyone...
what if I've learned anything from my own life experiences and talking to so many people, men and women,
by the way. Don't forget, we're both women shit too.
Yep.
So she's got to shit in that bathroom also.
Of course. Everyone
shits.
Everybody poops.
And everybody poops. And I will tell you, I have never heard a story and I've never had an experience where I didn't hook up or have a relationship with someone because they knew I shat, they heard me shit, I had to shit at a time that was unfortunate. It just doesn't matter. You should go confidently into that toilet and let it fly and walk out of there
without even flushing, brother.
and just be confident knowing that like your game is so strong that no shit is going to affect it.
Wow.
And I would take it even one step further to say, by doing that, you will puff your own chest up and you will come across as someone who is, I think that can bleed into other aspects of your life. That confidence of being like, yeah, I took a shit.
It's definitely more embarrassing if she found out that you cross campus to shit than if she found out you
that's the emasculating
shit.
Yes, because you're insecure.
Yeah.
And that's not attractive. And let me tell you something. If this person, if anyone that you're into is going to not want to date you because they know you shit or because you shat, you don't want to date that person.
Yeah.
That's not someone you want
to
be with.
I think the risk to, agreed. Like, having a normal shit in that toilet it's true. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. I think what he's maybe scared of, because what I would be afraid of is like one day when I don't know it's going to be really bad shit and I go in and it's like, it's nasty, you know, like where you leave kind of red-faced and sweaty, your anus had started to bleed by the end. You're
wow, you're really painting a picture.
Yeah. You know, like, and then you walk out and there she is and she's been waiting for God knows how long for the bathroom.
It'd be a bummer.
That's the worst case scenario.
But I'll even say this about that scenario and I would be freaked out too. And it's only human nature to be worried about it.
And that's fair.
But you can't, what we have to remind ourselves is that's happened to her before. She's had disastrous, awful, disgusting shits.
That's what your podcast is fucking about.
She grew up living with people who shared a bathroom. She maybe had a brother who used to take horrible, awful, disgusting shits and come out of there and be like, sorry. Or her dad, or her mom.
She has the same exact fear about that very bathroom.
Exactly. So if you come out of there and you take the worst possible shit and she's standing there and you just go like, one of those days, how you doing? Like, for it, you know?
Or it's a great icebreaker to be like, hey, remember when I took a horrible shit then pretended it didn't happen? I'm sorry about that. Well, what are you doing tonight?
You guys sing the praises of, and you actually brought some to the office, this poopery.
Well, I think if you're in a dorm or an office situation,
it should come with,
you got to use poopery. Poopery is an incredible product. I don't get paid to talk, neither of us get paid to talk about
yet.
But you guys should do that. You guys should have like all these poop products on a
website. Well, I mean, and you know what, to be honest with you, like we know the difference between the good products and the bad products.
We've tested them.
And we brought some poopery, Doug brought some poopery here to the HeadGum office because.
And a squatty potty thing.
And a squatty potty.
If you put a poopery, I know at my work we have poopery in the office, you spray it on the water before you go. Before you go, and then that's it. That's all you have to do. And it just makes the bathroom not smell like shit. And so
like, it creates like a force field.
Buy it for the dorm, and I guarantee you people will use it.
You know what the dorm should have too? I would just go ahead and just say this.
Mm-hmm.
A white noise machine.
I agree. That's a really nice idea. Or a brown noise machine. Yeah. That doesn't
work. Thank you. So it's so much people shitting all the time that it masks the actual shit.
Yeah.
It masks the shit. Then we don't have to worry about the loud farting that I think people are worried about.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's definitely another thing, too. You don't want to hear somebody. Yeah.
I mean, and you're at your backup school, Cornell. The least they could do is fork over some poopery for the
Because at Harvard
bathrooms.
And Princeton, they have the white noise machine.
Of course. Yes, of course.
They have if you had gotten in there, you know.
Of course. Yeah, listen.
Like your father had wanted. Not been such a failure. You might as well have gone to Ithaca down the street.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Don't even joke. Do not even joke. All right. Doug, Jack, thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
Thanks. A whirlwind. What a roller coaster it's been.
This was fun.
Thank you, yeah.
Again, your podcast is called?
Duty Calls with Doug Mand.
And if we played our cards right, there is an episode with Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Right.
On the HeadGum Network, and then also Jake and Mine's episode.
Yeah.
So you can listen to those, and then you can listen to about 100 previous ones that you recorded, a backlog. You can binge listen.
Log.
Yeah.
Nice. Another coming in by accident. Again, the opening theme song was written by Bird Problems. You guys remember that metal riff.
Yeah.
And the closing one was written by Max Barrett, Shout out to his new EP, Jam Protocol, available on Bandcamp, Spotify, iTunes, and all major platforms. All right. So thanks, Max Barrett. Thanks, Bird Problems. Thanks to you guys for listening. The email address for all those questions is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We should have you guys back on soon.
We'd love it.
There's more duty questions.
We'll call it episode number two.
Oh.
Later, everybody.
Things got real. This is If I Were You. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
Yes, dude!
It's just us girls and guys chatting and gabbing.
Things got real.
Well, I tell you, I've been on If I Were You a lot, and it's never sounded like this.
Things got real.
Oh my god.
I'm crying.
Things got real.
You host a show where it's advice about personal problems that are deep and affected, and you'll never have a heart to heart.
Things got real.
Yes, dude! Yes, dude!
Yes, dude!
Thank you. Nasty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Nili Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.